Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 93, Episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, yeah! A production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially, off the top, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News. Fuck, it's Wednesday, July 31st, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jack, a production of iHeartRadio Brian. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Ray!
Kissed by the Tuscan sun. If you have not, you simply must. Kissed by the Tuscan sun. It made life sweeter.
Okay, thank you for that Hall & Oates inspired, a.k.a. Christy Yamaguchi, man. It reminds me of being in the hills of Tuscany. The geometric or sorry, I forgot where I was. Yeah, shout out to you, because I was saying, hit me with the Hall & Oates AKAs, and you did. Still waiting for a few more fire ones based on I Can't Go For That. Submissions are still open.
I didn't even realize that's what it was. It had a little Chili Peppers vibe to it.
Oh, you thought I was doing Kiedis?
Yeah, you had a little Kiedis vibe to you.
I'm trying to think of how I would have done. Okay, well, I'll think about that.
Yeah, just wanted to give you a little something. Just a note.
Yeah, thank
a
you.
A note on your performance.
I'm going to write that down.
my AK was courtesy of Zach Van Nuss, and we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious and talented Laura Chin.
Hi.
What's up?
This is exciting.
It's exciting to have you here.
Yeah.
Have you been?
Really good.
Even though we're meeting for the first time, but how have you been?
How have you been? I mean, yeah. I've seen photos of you on Instagram, so I feel like I've known you for a while.
Right, and
so
I've seen photos of you, yes. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I never met her.
Yeah.
I would, and here we are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm super good. I'm just, you know, it's Monday, Sunday, Tuesday. Got
Tuesday,
it.
Wednesday, Thursday, happy days.
I'm really good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You are the writer and star of Florida Girls.
Yes, yes.
Which is a show that is in the process of airing its first season. How has that experience been for you?
It's fantastic. You know, we're on a network called Pop TV, and they're a newer network. They're like 3 years old or 4 years old. And they have a show called Schitt's Creek that has really like broke through and touched people's hearts and funny bones. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful. but because we're on a newer network, this whole process of like airing and it's cable, and my expectations were like not negative, but I was just like, I don't know what's going to happen.
Sure, sure.
Right.
It's this new like frontier of television where there's like, do critics review shows? There's 600 shows submitted for the Emmys last year. Like, and then we got a bunch of reviews from like Time Magazine and New York Times, and I was very like blown away, and I was very pleasantly surprised. So things are going very well. I feel good.
Yeah. We were excited too. Lacey Mosley, one of your co-stars, is a
frequent
good pal,
guest,
frequent
legend on
one of
show.
The faces on Mount Zeitgang.
She's incredible.
Zeitmore.
Mount Zeitmore. all right, Laura, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about today. We're going to talk about the Alan Dershowitz deep dive in the New Yorker. We're going to talk about the fact that different people say things different.
You don't say.
Yeah.
This is all spurred by a tweet that you saw, and you're you went around the whole office and were like, tell me what this is.
What is it?
Yeah.
What do you call this? We're going to talk about how Ilhan Omar is in some deep-ass trouble.
Wow.
We have witnessed the face, the future of politics. We are going to introduce you to that. Face the person who was running against Ilhan Omar. We're going to talk about whether there's trouble on the right, whether there's trouble in paradise between Trump and his right-wing supporters. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff, Lil Nas X defeating Mariah and Despacito, and Capital One going to regret those Viking commercials. I think.
Where people were just raiding the shit out of stuff.
And then people were like, oh, Capital One, shit, and all died? I don't know. What happened to the Vikings when they saw the people at Capital One?
I don't know.
No longer
they just switched
raided?
To Samuel L. Jackson, I think.
Oh, okay.
Or Jennifer Garner.
Yes. And we recorded this before last night's debates, so sorry, you're going to have to wait 24 hours for these, the hotness.
These lukewarm debate takes.
Lukewarm. The lukewarmest of debate takes. Well, either way, we're going to get to all of that and more. But first, Laura, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Oh, God. You know, the last thing I Googled was Hannah B. Rumors.
Hannah B. Rumors.
From Bachelorette.
Hannah B. Rumors.
Bachelorette, yes. I was watching Bachelorette last night and she closed it. It was a pretty uneventful episode of Bachelorette. You can kind of guess who's going to win,
right?
Tyler C. But at the end of the episode, it suddenly got really juicy and twisty. And she was like, I know there's a lot of rumors out there about how the show ends, but you guys have to tune in tomorrow night to see. And it's taken me months to heal from this. And I was like, whoa.
More like rumors.
I know, but I don't know why I don't want spoilers. I just wanted to know what the theories are.
Right.
I was like, what are people... but then I started to read and I was like, you know what? It's just going to ruin tomorrow night.
Are you a frequent Bachelorette fan?
I started it like 7 years ago, my very first TV show that I ever wrote for. A lot of the writers, we would go to one of the writers' house and we would all sit and like put the captions on, turn the volume down and kind of just make jokes about it.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And then I fell in love with it and now it's no longer ironic.
Right. Would they ever pull a fast one and have her say, it took me a long time to heal from this and then nothing bad happened?
Yes. That's the thing is like, I also watched the UK version of Love Island. Mm-hmm. I watch really highbrow stuff.
Right.
I feel like I fit right in here. But Love Island, I feel like is less manipulative. So you like feel warmer and cozier toward it. But Bachelorette can be very like... She's like screaming at somebody and to show like a teaser, like Hannah B loses it. And then the next week she's just like screaming at the television or something. And you're like, what? Like, you can't
just
do
have
that.
Her watching CNN during like
she's
a Trump
like,
rally.
No!
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's like a turtle race.
Yeah. You're breaking my heart. Yeah. And she's like talking to someone in traffic. And you're like, what are you doing? So they do that kind of stuff. And for some reason, though, you still keep tuning in because there's moments that are just that make it all worth it.
Right. Totally.
Yeah.
What is something you think is overrated?
You know, it's funny. I'm not on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I'm not on Twitter. And because I'm not on it, I'm like, it's probably not that cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's been years and years. And there was like a window to get on it. And I never did. And I remember I went to like a comedy show and Sarah Silverman was talking about Twitter. And she was like, you know, it's not too late to join Twitter, guys. This was like 10 years ago.
Right.
And she was like, and you do your obligatory tweet where you're like, is anyone out there? Like tweet, you know, like you do your first tweet.
Right.
And I was like, I could go home and I could start Twitter and I could do that first tweet that Sarah Silverman just gave me. But I didn't. And now it's just way too late.
I don't know if it is. Do you think it's too late?
I mean, I don't know what you'd be missing to even say that you're late would imply that you're missing out on something.
Right.
It's a very much, I don't know, like I think it's a double-edged sword to be honest. part of the time I like laugh at a lot of the stuff I see in there. Half of the time I'm like cringing at half the shit I see on there.
Yeah.
And it, you know, social media can have an effect on you where like you really, the interactions, like you'll really take on what, how people are talking about something or talking to you or about things you're involved in. And I don't think that's necessarily healthy. Oh, oh, see, this is where my fucking whole Eminem monologue starts.
please freestyle rap.
Yeah. You know, you only get one shot for that first tweet.
For that first tweet, yeah. Do not, Laura, miss your chance to blow.
But yeah, I think, pardon me, I get why it, I don't think you're missing out on anything, but if you want to participate in the hot take economy,
right,
then sure.
So yeah. You never check Twitter then?
Is what I look, you're saying? No, of course I look at it, but I'm not like out here like debating people on it or right. Like constantly having an like a take on something that's on Twitter or whatever. I maybe tweet like three times a week.
Yeah.
Realistic. And then I usually just use it to interact with listeners.
Yeah. And like people get their news from it.
Yeah. But I think for comedians, it's different because a lot of people like by building a following on Twitter, that helps a lot for exposure. And I get it for that purpose.
Yes.
That's one thing. But
it helps people get writing jobs. Yeah. It helps people in so many ways.
But you have your own writing job.
Oh, right. Exactly. Yeah.
I'm like, I'm fine, Twitter. Right. No.
Twitter for struggling writers.
No, I'm not a monster.
No, of course not.
But I would think that like insecurely every staffing season, I would be like, oh God, like I'm going to lose this job to someone with a huge Twitter following.
Right.
I got to get a Twitter following. But I never did. But now on Instagram, they'll post, you know, tweets.
Screencasts of tweets.
Yeah. So I feel like I get like the juicy, like the good
ones. Yeah, you get
the good
ones.
Yeah,
the funny ones. And then I don't have to skim through all the like hateful, like, you know, racist ones, which mm-hmm. is nice.
That is very typical. Typical fare on Twitter.
What is something you think is underrated?
I mean, I feel like, you know, therapy, maybe?
Okay.
Like, I feel like I'm always surprised when people, like, still are like, no, I've never been to therapy. And I'm like, what? Like, I don't know.
Maybe.
Like, everyone should, all ages, everyone should be, like, looking inward and exploring themselves. And I only say that because it's been so life-saving for me in so many ways. So many different forms of therapy have been so life-saving for me. But and now in this modern age, when people say like, yeah, I've never read a self-help book or I've never been to therapy, I'm like, wow. Not in the judgmental way, just in a like almost like I'm in awe of them because I wouldn't be able to like walk around, you know?
Right. And I think, well, even figuring out access to it is probably the hardest part,
the
barrier to entry.
Yes.
And luckily, there are a lot of places that'll have like sliding scales for whatever your income is to actually be able to do that, to participate and interact with a therapist.
And I have friends in Florida who were like, you know, lower income and, you know, still they're finding it. They're finding ways to figure it out.
Yeah.
They're finding, it does exist out there.
Start off with a self-help book, shit.
Yeah.
Because that might even jar your whole shit. I mean, that's how I even realized. I'm like, oh, yeah, like this book is opening up my like introspective side, and I'm like, oh,
100%.
I got a lot of shit I need to dismantle.
And they're so taboo, especially for men. Like to have self help books on your shelf is like, I'm not crazy.
Yeah,
you
I was know? Gonna say self help is definitely something that I have underrated. Can you give me a good self help book?
Oh my god. I mean, God.
You're screwing it up, idiot, is a good one.
Oh, yeah?
No.
You dumb bitch.
It depends. On... You dumb
Listen
bitch.
Up, you dumb bitch.
By I'd probably Deepak read Chopra. That. I'd be... Deepak Chopra is so deep. I'm still not. Like, I bought a couple Deepak Chopra books, and I tried to read them, and I was like, that was like 10 years ago. And now I'm going back and like rereading, like picking those books up again. And I think you need to like learn like a basics, like spiritual self-help language.
Yeah.
And then you can, because I tried to read Power of Now 10 years ago, couldn't understand anything he was talking about. It's like Eckhart Tolle.
Yeah.
And then I picked it up recently and I was like, oh, I understand. Like, I'm learning now what this language
pair that
is.
With A New World, the follow-up book to The Power of Now.
God, he's
with
amazing.
Anecdotes from that. But yeah, I think it's...
Marianne Williamson, Return to Love, you could read. That's a
I
pretty,
know,
like...
I that's the second time I've heard somebody...
That means that,
not,
like, the universe is trying to get you to read
getting
it.
Getting me to
it's
read
a message.
It. Yeah,
it's a message.
Because I had... After her performance in the debate, I was assuming that her work would be not serious, but I've heard
no,
serious,
that's her thing. That's her vibe,
smart
yeah.
people say that her book is great. So.
She's amazing. I was really shocked that she said she was running for president because it seems like you have to have a certain level of like
policy know-how.
Yeah, like or like nastiness even.
Right.
And she's so like, you know, she's sort of soft and into the self-love
and
stuff.
If, before you do that, Jack, like Marianne Williamson does at all her live shows, you should apologize to the people of color in this room. For the transgressions that America's committed.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yes, she really wants everyone to do that. Yeah. I know. I was like reading.
I think we should.
Have you seen that clip?
Yeah.
She says that. It in her book. I was listening to her book in my backyard on audio tape, and it's like self-love and, you know, forgiving yourself and da-da-da. And then it's like, and we should all apologize to people of color in this country. I was like, whoa. Like,
it's
a great way
to like screen white people, because if you're a white person who's like, no, what? Why would I need to? I didn't do it. Then you're like, oh, okay, you're a fucking monster.
I wasn't here
yourself.
For that.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And it's not even that you're apologizing personally. It's just acknowledging the power dynamic and the history of oppression. Yes. And you're saying, yes, that's terrible.
I know.
I see you.
And it's like groundbreaking. She said that, and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's funny to see the clips of it like live when they're like, are there any African Americans in the audience that are willing to participate?
Oh my God.
And they're like, can you please stand? Now, for all the white participants, please embrace them if the person is willing to be touched.
Right.
And tell them. Like, and it was like, wow, okay. Yeah. Okay, sister.
Hey, I mean, I gotta love it. Someone's out there doing that. It's amazing.
All right. I will read that and report back.
Yes, and apologize.
And I do apologize.
Thank you.
You'll have mad crystals on next week.
Yeah. What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Okay, I have a good myth, actually, that I heard in a writer's room. I don't know if I should be spreading this. This is insane. The myth is, and I don't know this to be false, it just sounds like too much work, is that Bradley Cooper has a sex device in his house that lowers him down onto his mates.
What?
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
But there was a morning discussion about this, and there was a writer who was like, I'm telling you, I know for a fact.
Wait, so like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible?
Yeah, it's like an apparatus that lowers him down onto his mates, and it's something about like everything feeling less shameful if he's just like lowered. But I feel like I could say on record, I know that not to be true, just because like, no, he doesn't, you know?
But that is such a great myth.
Yeah.
But where did that even come from that someone goes,
that? Like, I'm telling you, he has an apparatus in his house. That's one
to
of them.
To be lowered down, that's kind of interesting. I'm just trying to think of how that works.
Yeah, because I guess the idea was like, it's almost like the sheet, you know, like sex through a sheet thing. Like,
right.
You're not really touching, so I think...
There's
penis
like a
drops.
Single point of contact.
Well, then I feel like
there's no other touching.
Assuming he's having sex with a woman, that he would the position. It couldn't just be you can be airdropped in on for missionary.
No, it would be difficult for the woman. Yeah,
yeah
you'd have
woman,
to be some kind of yoga headstand or something.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you're a woman or a man, and the talk was that it's both sexes, the apparatus is
applies to anyone.
He's pleasing everyone with this apparatus.
Right. Yeah. Of course he is.
Or no one.
Right.
But the talk is, we talked about a lot about that. Like, how would you position yourself so someone could just lower down onto
to airdrop a penis in from on high.
I mean, anytime sex involves diagramming, you're doing something right.
Yeah.
Or a release.
It's very sexy.
Like an indemnification agreement.
Right.
Yeah. Like, if this shit breaks and you get hydraulic fluid all over you and you're burned.
That's bad.
That's on you.
And just the sound of the machine feels like it would hurt the mood. Yeah.
She's like, Bradley, the harness hit my head. And he's like, you know what? What it was when you signed up.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's like a gas powered machine. It's like belching it up.
He's like, go to the furnace, get the bellows going.
100%.
It's my steampunk fuck apparatus.
And it's also like, who built it and what did you tell them it was for?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, there's plenty of people who are like, what you want?
Whatever, I got you. Yeah.
You want the Ethan Hunt airdrop dick machine?
That's actually, like, who builds the sex dungeons? Because I know in Hollywood, like, there's a lot of sex dungeons. Yeah. And who's building them and how do they advertise?
I have a friend who moved into a house in Louisville, Kentucky, and after, like, a week found a really, like...
False room kind of thing?
False door false wall? False room sex dungeon. Yeah. They're everywhere.
And it wasn't
somebody
listed?
Somebody needs to write the definitive... No. It was hidden.
Wow.
What?
That would add value. I mean, on the listing.
Right, yeah, no.
Yeah.
But,
he didn't,
but it, could
it was a surprise.
It's 1,800 square feet, 3+3, with a full-on sex
dungeon.
Blimp
hanger.
Yeah.
But somebody needs to write the definitive history of sex dungeons, I think.
I think we gotta get it all out in the open.
Yeah,
I'm sure our listeners know.
So interesting.
I bet you one of our listeners is writing that book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do it.
In their sex dungeon.
Right. Yeah. Does it have to be a dungeon? Why does it have to be a dungeon?
Well, just
it's
like
always
hidden
about
rooms.
The just domination and shit.
I think that's a good point, though. It then implies that it's like naughty, negative, bad, right? Like the word dungeon.
Yeah. I want to reclaim the word dungeon.
Yeah.
Good.
Or yeah. we call it like a sex closet.
I mean, Dungeon
something.
Family gave yeah, us Goody Dungeon Mob family. And Outcast. I mean, that's pretty fucking yeah. pretty
that's
good.
A, hey, that's a really good point.
Yeah. yeah.
So I'm going to guess based off that, the origin is in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes, for sure.
Solved.
Do you think that was
the
that
first
was a
sex dungeon was
reference?
In the Varsity?
But do you think the Dungeon Family was like a sex dungeon reference?
No, I think they're just thinking of Dungeons and Dragons yeah, or something.
I'm from in Florida. I'm from a town called Clearwater, but there's like a littler town in Clearwater called Dunedin, and for some reason Dunedin became Dungeon. And so it's like welcome to the dungeon and the dungeon boys and the dungeon crew, and it's all based
that's fucking
on
awesome.
It's like
what's the dungeon
that
crew
sounds
like?
Really cool.
Dungeon crew is fucking crazy.
It's like a real gang, or is like a dude like private school kids
it's,
who had a Corvette.
Well, there's no private. There was no private school kids in my orbit. But the dungeon crew, it's like you know, it's like southern sort of rednecky. No offense, guys who like fish and like go to Dunedin Brewery and like watch like metal bands.
Any, any noodling? You know what noodling is?
No.
Where people fish for catfish with their arms?
No. Yeah.
Hillbilly hand fishing.
Hillbilly
Wasn't
hand
that a
fishing.
Show?
I think so.
Hillbilly
yeah.
hand
there,
fishing.
There's some wild YouTube videos.
That's more hillbilly-y than the dungeon.
Yo, there's
does.
One. I was actually following a noodling influencer. Was this like woman who just like pulls out the fucking like 90-pound catfish?
Yeah.
She's like very much fits the Instagram like profile where she's like cute and wears like, you know, pink camo.
Yes.
And then she just like hops off the boat and is just like putting her arm in. She's like, look at this shit I just pulled out. And like the guys
wild.
Are comments like, marry me.
But real quick, I want to talk about. So Bradley Cooper, we've talked before on this show about how there are certain people who for whatever reason have like sexual urban legends about
yeah.
them.
Right.
Like Elton John got his stomach pumped, or Rod Stewart
had
was another
pumped.
One, had his stomach, had so much semen in his stomach that he had to have it pumped. But
Richard Gere, famously.
Richard Gere has one. And we've always like kind of both talked about like there are certain, like there's some currency that they must have that we don't quite know what it is. But Bradley Cooper definitely has that, because that's not the first
yeah.
like weird, probably false sexual rumor that I've heard about Bradley Cooper. People are just like intrigued by the idea of Bradley Cooper
yeah.
having weird sex.
You know what? Yeah. Just let him live. If he wants to airdrop his dick, do it.
Right. 100%. As long as it's consensual, you can airdrop
also,
him to anyone.
I like, though, that maybe this is the new semen pumped from the stomach rumor.
Right.
That, like, people are like, no, I actually heard that about this person.
Right.
Like, wait, hold on. You talking about the harness fuck?
The harness.
It's not Bradley Cooper.
You guys know Elton John harness
like,
fucks
that's
too?
That's actually Gordon Ramsay. Right. You know Gordon Ramsay harness fucks.
Gordon Ramsay would be an amazing one. All right, we're going to take a quick break to ponder that. We will be right back.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hey guys, I'm home.
Everyone knows that it's Dad's job to be a bit of a joker.
Sorry I'm late, everyone. There was an accident at the factory. Monty fell into the upholstery machine. Don't worry, though. He's fully recovered.
Good one, Dad.
Did you get the pizza for dinner?
So he likes to keep everyone happy with some dad jokes.
Yep, right here. I had a coupon, and it saved me a lot of dough.
Well, the truth is, Dad is just a fun guy.
Hey, I'm not a mushroom.
Please stop. Where does he get these stupid jokes from?
He listens to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast.
Oh, great. More dad jokes for me.
We've delivered over 15,000 jokes to over 3 million listeners, and man, the postage fees are killing us. Listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
And we're back, and we're calling this segment Things Different People Say Different, the most ineloquent way to possibly say that. No, there was a thread a couple days ago on Twitter where people say that the only...
Well, actually, let's show Laura the photo.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let me find this.
What do you call this?
I would call those glazed donut holes.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
You are correct.
Thank you.
Okay.
But I didn't realize, so people in the comments on Twitter, this is one of those amazing cultural artifacts that you're missing, not being on Twitter. Some people said the only proper answer is Munchkins.
Munchkins!
Other people called them Timbits.
Yeah.
And beignets.
Beignets I get.
Right.
But a beignet feels more specific.
It's different. Yeah, it's a little different.
You got to get that at the Cafe du Monde. You know what I mean?
Right.
And get all that powdered sugar all over your shit when you eat it, and you look like you had either did a bunch of cocaine or you have terrible dandruff.
Right.
You know, well, actually, I also want to ask you, what do you call a fizzy liquid with a lot of sugar in it?
I say soda, but I know about pop.
Is it soda the standard in Clearwater?
It's funny. There's like a lot of people. Florida is very much like this melting pot of America, which is why I think America likes to make fun of Florida, but really they're just making fun of themselves because Florida's just like, we're just America. It's just people from all these different states that have like ended up in Florida. So some of my friends had like, you know, kind of Midwesterner accents, and their moms did. So that's how they talked, even though they lived in Florida. And
they
would
talk
pop. And yeah, they'd call it to trash like a bin, and they had those kinds of words.
Oh, that's another one.
Yeah.
We were trying to think of other ones because sneakers, tennis shoes.
Tennies.
But bin and trash can.
I just like sort of like you saw this and you're like, what else are we getting wrong?
What else? Well, no, but I also wanted it because I hadn't noticed that, like, I've lived in Columbia, Missouri in the last 10 years. I've lived in New York and then out here. And I feel like there's becoming sort of a homogenization of like, everybody kind of dresses like they're from Brooklyn and everybody kind of, because the internet is sort of flattening everything out.
Sure.
So like everybody knows the same memes.
It's hard for stuff to happen in a vacuum.
Right. Anymore. So like, will that get rid of things like those cultural differences where some people say pop, some people say Coke, some people say soda. Like, will everybody just start saying soda like they should?
Oh, wow.
No, I'm just kidding.
Like, they should.
You want
a universal language.
Yes.
Is what you want.
Yes. Well, Esperanto.
This is, like, why I watch Love Island, is because it's watching British people, and their slang is so different.
You said Love Island is, like, warmer. Is all is it, like, the British Bake Off, Great British Bake Off?
Yeah, I think they have, like different manners. I think they're different with each other.
Yeah, and there are times when, like, they're outraged by another man's behavior, like, in a way you wouldn't see in, like, American reality dating.
And there's times when two men are just like, you're my brother, and, like, I love you, and they're like, I love you, and they hug each other, and they're constantly, like, touching and hugging each other, the men are,
in a
beautiful way, and I'm like, what's... And then I watched the American Love Island, and the contestants were very... They're much more, like, self-aware. Like, oh, God, it's bright in here. These lights are bright. Oh, my God, am I being interviewed? Weird. Right. And I'm like, guys, be, like, British and soft.
Yeah,
and...
well, I think that's a part of, like, this country, because, like, we export so much entertainment that, like, it enters people's brains, and they're, like, already, like... I'm always living my life like I'm on a TV show as it is.
Right.
So when I'm on one, I'm going to really fucking turn it on because I've lost my humanity.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
But they have great slang on the Love Island show. If you like different words for stuff, then watch Love Island.
Okay.
Yeah.
American men touch each other more. I think we need more touching.
More love you. Loving. More. Yeah.
Jack, I love
loving
you.
Loving your brothers.
Yeah.
Love
you guys, Miles. Should kiss right now.
He didn't look at me. You see, he didn't look me in my eye.
I love you, Miles.
Yay. Yeah.
Hold the eye contact.
Wow.
See, he blinked away.
Marianne Williamson is here in spirit, and we are returning.
Apologize to me
love.
For slavery.
to
half of me.
Okay, yeah.
And then apologize to my other half for Japanese internment.
And then apologize to half of me for slavery. Okay. And then I'll apologize to you, my other half.
All right, that's a push between
yikes.
You and me.
Yikes.
All right. Alan Dershowitz, this New Yorker profile that he has been anticipating and putting out a preemptive debunking for. He's been, like, writing op-eds in Newsmax. He's basically the one Democrat who you can find on Fox News defending everything that Trump says. He's also OJ's lawyer. And this profile just, he's also a Harvard law professor or a former Harvard law professor. And they just kind of paint this picture of a guy who is built purely to pursue fame. But he also seems to have this overall trend towards being an apologist for rapists, basically. So he's, like, defended Mike Tyson. He obviously has been a huge public defender of Trump. He was Epstein's lawyer for a long time and continues to be. And he's also implicated in a bunch of the Epstein stuff.
Oh, okay. And, there it is. Yeah. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So he's kind of losing it where he's, like, claiming that he has all this information. And then the New Yorker writer's like, you know, we... fact-check stuff, right?
You can't just tell us shit.
But he's like, he constantly is talking about, like, well, I got to win this. I got to be tried in the court of public opinion. And he has, like, a Trumpian view of the court of public opinion that he can just lie enough times and say the same thing enough times. He's like, nobody's ever been more innocent than me. It's amazing that they would say this about somebody with a perfect sexual record.
What the fuck?
He literally said that.
Wow. Perfect.
It gets, exactly. It got to the point that I just want to read this sentence from the profile. At one point, Epstein reacted to Dershowitz's statements in the news by emailing a friend from prison, Dershowitz is out of his mind. So Epstein is like, man, that guy's really lost it.
Epstein is judging him.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then he was on Twitter the other day, like, really self-owning himself, where people were like, check out this op-ed Alan Dershowitz wrote when he was like, the age of consent needs to be 16 or something. Mm. And they're like, oh, really? From the guy who has, like, accusations of
having sex with
children?
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, the logic I was using then and to this day stands is that if you can have an abortion at that age, then you should be able to, then the age of consent should also be that.
Yeah. This is a longstanding, like, quote, legal opinion that he holds that if somebody has gone through puberty, they shouldn't be, like, considered a child.
I was 12 when I went through puberty.
Yeah. He thinks that then. He should have been able to date you.
Well,
I'm sure. You never know. Never say never.
Right. Yeah, he seems like a pretty cool dude.
I'm sure he's very relaxed about whatever the coming months are going to bring with this Epstein saga.
So one of the Epstein victims is taking him to court for defamation, and there's going to be all these like documents that become public for discovery, and he keeps being like, "I can't wait. I welcome this because then the truth is going to come out." And the New Yorker looked into it, and he's been trying to get the case thrown out the whole time that he's been saying that in public.
Jesus Christ. Oh God.
So yeah, let's talk though about why Ilhan Omar is in trouble.
Oh man, we talked last week.
Yes.
About, or no, that was this week maybe. I think when Danielle Stella.
Okay.
Her challenger stepped on the scene, and we talked about her dedication to justice by shoplifting at Target, and also being a really avid QAnon believer supporter. Yeah. But we didn't really know much about her except her record. Right. But now we've actually heard her speak, and the content of what she says, I think, is really remarkable for a few reasons. Mostly because I've not heard someone sort of coherently put together like a really good attack against Ilhan Omar.
Right.
That wasn't just like recycled talking points from right-wing Twitter. So when you hear this, keep that in mind because
pay attention to the content. Try not to be distracted.
I'm Danielle Stella, and I am representing Minnesota in the 5th Congressional District against Ilhan Omar in the upcoming 2020 election. The biggest group that I'm going to be working with is the millennials. Nobody else in my district who's considering running wants to talk to millennials. I think President Trump is doing fantastic, and I think we should all look at how great his turnout was at his Independence Day rally.
What's the worst thing Trump has done so far?
Yes, what's the worst thing Trump has done?
And then processing.
My least favorite about President Trump? That's a good question.
Okay, we get it. Look, I'm not trying to shade her for the way she speaks. But when you have these people already trying to fucking get Ilhan Omar, put her in danger with the shit that they're saying out loud on places like Fox and elsewhere. Like when I see these are the candidates that they're putting up, I don't know if this woman is going to be the actual person running against Ilhan Omar. I don't know where that puts me. It's really mind-boggling.
I love the felony. I love that. I like the stealing and the 279 items.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
we were debating. So what do you think that was?
It's how a perfect amount of items.
But what is 279? Well, what's 279? Like what were there 279 of?
How were they small enough to be in one shopping cart?
That's what we were trying to figure out.
Yeah, that's so good.
But you only scan like three things and then push the cart out.
Is that what she did?
Yeah, she did the scan and go.
Oh, yeah. like self-checker. Oh my God, I really like her.
Yeah, really? Well, you're really gonna love her because then she took the fucking stage at this free speech
made
rally.
Made me really fall in love with her.
Yeah,
she clearly went up there without, like, her only kind of preconceived thoughts were, I've seen what a political speech looks like in a movie once.
Because, and
and that was it.
And maybe. Maybe, I don't know, what other MC, maybe a Flavor Flav video of like a hype man on stage.
Yeah.
But she takes a stage and just hear him, I don't know.
Our happy self, tell them who you're running against. This is Danielle Stella.
Yes! Hi, everyone. I'm running against Ilhan Omar, and we beat her for representing America. We do not like her talk about our country. We do not believe that I'm running with some people who did something. She is awful, and she needs to go. Yes. I love America. I love the freedom of speech, and I love the Second Amendment, and I love all of you. We have strength and unity. Yes. Our website is Stella2020.com if you want to learn more. She has to be replaced along with all the just Democrats. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Does she like the other amendments, I wonder? She didn't mention any other amendments.
There are other amendments?
She's like, I like these two. I like these two.
That Second Amendment. She sounds drunk. I know. I'm running a sut. And so I don't believe 9/11 some people did something. No. And you're not going to let talk about our country like that. I don't think so. I'm getting mad. We're going to get her out.
She's awful. That's like what your friend says when you're when she's right, drunk. Yeah. You're being awful.
Right. Who the fuck are you?
You're awful.
That's what would have been the next part. But yeah,
Yeah. We'll see.
I would love to see them debate.
Yeah. I wouldn't because...
No, that would mean it got too far.
Yeah. But it would be entertaining.
Yeah. I have a feeling this isn't going to last. But, you know, knowing how Twitter likes to just elevate people because they're they'll say some inflammatory shit about a person on the left. They're like, yeah, this is it.
Right.
Get her, Danielle.
Danielle Stella. Oh God, I want to have dinner with her. You know,
I do too. I'm just glad
get inside there.
She smiles a lot. She seems like a
pleasant person.
Yeah,
to be around.
Who's just around a lot of fucking nonsense. Who's like, oh, okay, these are the takes I'm going with.
Yeah, QAnon.
But who knows? Maybe she's
one of the things I'm thankful for QAnon bringing into our lives. One of, I think it's the only thing reason I'm thankful for QAnon.
Because it's empowering
people. Her to us.
Yeah.
All right. What's going on with Trump and prescription prices, Miles?
The one thing that Trump has said out loud that sounded reasonable and humane was we got to get prescription drug costs down. Oh shit!
I remember when that happened. We were like, "Wait, what?
Yeah,
why is?" And that, but that's right.
And he's been saying that. He's like, "You know, we're gonna get the cost of drugs down for seniors."
Right.
And I was like, "Okay." And he has a plan, which isn't great. But what he's essentially trying to do is he wants to price a lot of drugs, for people using Medicare to the prices to be basically comparable to what other countries are paying for them.
Right.
So your insulin isn't $300 like it is here. And, you know, the thing that he's running up against is, he has a lot of elderly people who are his base who would help me get my prescription drug costs down. But the other side of it is he's a fucking Republican, so that means Big Pharma will have a fucking opinion on every single thing he does. And even though this plan he has only affects about 22% of the Medicare drug spending, you have groups already coming out like Grover Norquist's Americans for Tax Reform and the American Conservative Union have been so noisy that they've been running all kinds of weird ads. First of all, the White House had an official named Joe Grogan, not Joe Rogan, Joe Grogan. He addressed a bunch of these conservative groups.
He's taller than Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Right. Sounds like Joe Rogan trying to come up with a fake name.
And yes, sir, what's your name?
Grogan.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Grogan.
He told a lot of these conservative groups that said, shut the fuck up with all these attacks you're trying to do because, quote, the president will not be outflanked on the left. But on drug prices. So, which is weird. He's like, we have to be woker than the left on drug spending.
That's going to be a tough position to pull off, man. He's going to have to be pretty flexible.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, because of this, now you have groups like Americans for Tax Reform running ads like this on Facebook. Now, listen to this. This is an ad from right-wing interests on Facebook.
America will never be a socialist country.
Yes, Mr. President, stop socialist price controls on prescription drugs. Act now at protectmypartb.org.
Okay, I'm sorry. Socialist price controls? So now they are basically running ads that are trying to frame this move as a socialist move. And there are other ones that are also even trying to frame Trump as being socialist. Or one ad compared him to being a Bernie bro. Huh. So this is where they're kind of they're using this playbook now to be like, okay, well, I guess how do we get Trump in check by calling him a socialist?
Wow.
It's very interesting.
I mean, this brings back to, you know, when he was running, he had a lot of economically populist messages that if he had actually stuck to them, he could have been really dangerous, really could have started a movement, but...
Right, because he convinced these people who are red meat racists to just be fair... tax code or maybe my healthcare should be affordable or
right.
These other, but you got hoodwinked. And case in point, there's another Facebook ad that says deadly illnesses like cancer, Alzheimer's and heart disease are killing our family and friends. But instead of helping American companies find a cure, swamp senators like Democrat Ron Wyden want to hit them with socialist price controls.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
So it's a very interesting time right now.
American companies and corporations, they just don't have enough rights. They need to be on more.
Thank God for Citizens United, man.
Yes.
Because basically all they did was go into the Supreme Court and were like, don't I got rights? They're like, you're right. You're right, Pfizer. You have rights.
You're important. Yeah. And you should be heard.
Yeah, man. I mean, it'll be interesting to see. My guess would be that he's going to cave on this because the way his political sort of his base has become, you know, use racism to get the, you know, blue collar workers in. And then with actual policy, he gets like the support of like the you know, rich people who don't admit that they're voting for him.
That's why Ted Cruz is asking for like an emergency tax cut for the wealthy right now.
Is he
like
really?
Another 1%? It's fucking absurd.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Are they okay? Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Like, please, let's get our pitchforks out.
All right, we're going to take another quick break and we'll be right back.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hey guys, I'm home.
Everyone knows that it's Dad's job to be a bit of a joker.
Sorry I'm late, everyone. There was an accident at the factory. Monty fell into the upholstery machine. Don't worry though, he's fully recovered.
Good one, Dad.
Did you get the pizza for dinner?
So he likes to keep everyone happy with some dad jokes.
Yep, right here. I had a coupon, and it saved me a lot of dough.
Well, the truth is, Dad is just a fun guy.
Hey, I'm not a mushroom.
Please stop. Where does he get these stupid jokes from?
He listens to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast.
Oh, great. More dad jokes for me.
We've delivered over 15,000 jokes to over 3 million listeners, and man, the postage fees are killing us. Listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today, and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
And we're back. And Old Town Road, we talked about it when it first started flying up the charts with the controversy over whether it was a rap song or a country song, whether it belonged on the country charts. It has now been number one on the Billboard Hot 100 for the 17 weeks in a row.
Yes.
It's overtaken Mariah Carey's One Sweet Day.
With Boyz II Men. Wow.
Ugh. It's unbelievable.
And Despacito, the Bieber
Daddy Yankee
song.
I'm surprised to hear
song.
That Despacito was like, I mean, I know people liked it, and I know that it was like, it was global, but mm-hmm. I didn't realize it was like record-breaking.
Well, yeah, I think that one proved that it's like, yo, this can be global, and you can dominate the charts with its global appeal.
Yeah.
And then Old Town Road was like, you want to see a meme blow the fuck up?
Yeah.
And then kids love it, though, too. I don't know. I'm really excited about this, and it's nice to see Nas get his time. Lil Nas X, Nasir.
Nostradamus, okay.
Not Nostradamus, Nasty Nas to Esco to Escobar.
Now he is Nostradamus. That album was so bad. It's the most disappointed I've ever
heard. That was I Am, right? Where he's got like the Pharaoh.
Yeah, the Pharaoh garb.
I jammed out to that album. I didn't know it was good or bad.
I know.
It had good tracks on it.
I listened to it like 100 times, but.
Of course.
Was it the one where the bullet goes backwards from somebody's body, like back into the gun?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, I think
cool.
That was.
But yeah, there was some. The Till Your Bodyguard's Uchiwali verse is better than yours.
Uchiwali.
But this had Nas's Like on there too. And Hate Me Now.
Nas is like, oh no, that's a fantastic album.
You
know? That's a classic
you can hate
album.
Me now.
Okay.
But
anyway.
Stop. Yeah. Okay.
We digress hard. but back to, because I think, you know, it's interesting with this hit, it kind of shows you how the internet really can like democratize an industry in a way, because Nas was just, he was making memes before this.
Yeah.
And then was like, I really want to get this song to pop, and was just using social media to try and get it to catch on.
Mm-hmm.
And now look at where he's at.
Yeah.
It's so catchy, and I understand why kids like it, because they can understand the lyrics. They're like,
right.
I know what a horse is. I know what a road is. Like, they're, you know, like they feel connected to it.
I think the biggest crossover.
Got it. Old Town Road. I see
Wait,
that.
Mom, what's lean? Forget that.
Shut
part.
Up.
It's a crossover between country and rap, but it's also a crossover between like grown-up music and kids music.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like a Pixar movie.
Yeah.
It's like bringing enemies together, right? Like grown-ups and kids.
Right.
Yeah, country and rap.
And then like, yeah, country and rap. It's great.
Yeah.
It's good for the world.
I'm just thinking, man, I really loved One Sweet Day. I didn't realize that was that much of a hit, but that shows you how powerful like those R&B ballads could be in the 90s.
God, and that voice. Mm. Oh,
when
that
was the last
voice.
Time we had like a ballad like that really?
Well, because we don't have right now, like, do we have like a Whitney or a Mariah where you're like, this person is almost like a freak show, their voice is so
Adele
good?
Adele is kind of like that. I mean, I feel like she's the closest person who would do a song like that.
Yeah.
Gaga will do like more poppy stuff.
Right.
Ariana
like, yeah, Gaga might be able to do it, but we don't see her do it.
But not a song like One Sweet Day. Like,
oh,
that's
my
a very specific. Maybe.
Those notes.
The bygone era, man.
Was that like a live song? Was that off of a live album? The One Sweet Day? Maybe
was that
not.
Butterfly? I think that was on Butterfly, but
okay.
I don't know. I don't know.
And that was bringing Boyz II Men at their height.
Oh,
together
that
with
was the
right
Boyz
II
Men crossover.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
When that you look at basically whatever everything else is that held over, you know, 13 weeks, it was Despacito and One Sweet Day were tied at 16 weeks. Then Uptown Funk, 14 weeks. I Got a Feeling. It was 14 weeks by Black Eyed Peas.
Mm.
We Belong Together. Mariah Carey, 14 weeks.
God,
Candle in the Wind, 14 weeks.
Oh, nice.
The fucking Macarena.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
And I'll Make Love to You, 14 weeks.
Yes.
And I Will Always Love You, Whitney Houston, 14 weeks.
Damn.
Wow. Yeah. So it really is those love ballads, the Quiet Storm.
Yeah.
You know? Did you guys have Joe Mama Johnson's Quiet Storm?
No.
Or was that just me?
What is it?
It was like Joe Mama Johnson's Quiet Storm.
Is it like an FM radio thing?
Yeah, it was like, I think it was Sunday nights, and it was like for horny like tweens.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's my friends and I. It was like, T-shirt and my panties on, like those kinds
of
songs.
Right.
And he talked so low, and he was so sexual, and I don't know what he looks like, but I imagine he's like a human slug.
What is his name?
Joe Mama Johnson. Like, he sounded so hot, which makes me think he has to not be, because it's radio.
That sounds so much better than what I had, which was Delilah. Did you guys have that?
Oh, yeah, Delilah. Yeah.
She's just like really wholesome talking to people about their heartbreak.
Yeah. And it was always...
Oh, you don't want to see Joe Mama Johnson.
Oh, is he not what I want him to be?
If you were a horny tween
masturbating
and you knew
to
that
his
this
voice.
Dude was on the other side, you would call the cops on yourself.
I need to see it. I need to know the truth.
Joe Mama
Johnson. Oh, wow. He looks like my grandpa.
He looks like a busted pastor.
He looks like a broke down.
He's got
pastor.
The five button suit on.
Oh my god!
But hey,
I got horny for his voice, and I will say it here, recorded forever.
Was it just super? It was just bassy as fuck.
Deep and bassy, and he's like, and to all you lovers out there, you know, and always playing like all the Boyz II Men's, all the but the horny songs.
Right.
You know, really as horny as you can get.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll make love to you as opposed to It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday.
No, love songs. It's all fuck jams. And we would listen to them when we were like 12. And, you know,
right.
Some of my friends were sexually active then in a dark turn of events.
Yeah.
Because they hung out with Epstein and it's a whole
right.
thing. No.
You did live in Florida. That's,
I know. Well, sometimes like if you Google Florida girls, which I do all the time.
Yeah. Google alerts.
There's a lot of dark headlines.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Florida as a modifier to any Google search is never going to get you the thing I think you're looking for.
Right.
It's funny when you bring up Joe Mama Johnson, because there was a guy named Theo on the radio on when it used to be 92.3 The Beat in LA, and he was like super smooth, and I was Theo's fucking dope.
Yeah.
Like, he's this black dude who like gets it. He was Asian.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I remember being like, whoa.
Oh, that's cool.
Theo.
Representation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was like, that was the voice too. And it was pre-internet. So you had to fucking go to like a radio event to see Theo
right.
in person.
Right. Because
you couldn't just Google that shit.
How did people know stuff? I mean, my generation was like pre-internet, but like still, I don't remember knowing anything.
You know how I found out?
Internet.
I saw his headshot at a dry cleaner's in LA.
Oh.
And I was like, what? I'm like, that can't be Theo. But then it had the logo for 92.3 The Beat on it.
Right.
And I was like, that's Theo?
That blew your mind.
Yeah.
Did that make you feel like, you're like, I can do anything in my life?
No, Tiger Woods made me feel like I
could. Oh, yeah.
And I was terrible at golf. Could not do it.
Glued a club to your hand?
Yeah, my dad did it. And he was like, no, he did it himself.
Was that was that a groundbreaking thing for you, Tiger Woods? Because it's like seeing yourself.
Yeah,
like,
him and Blade.
Your specific mix, too, which is like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that black and Asian for sure.
Yeah.
But now I feel really good because I see people like Naomi Osaka
and
like Rui, who's playing for the Wizards. And I'm like, yeah, look at us. Look at the black and Asian coming up.
The black and Asian. Mm-hmm. I know. It's funny being mixed race is like my race is mixed race.
Right.
Like when I meet a mixed race person, I'm like, you understand me. Like, we're the same race.
Exactly.
But that's the only people I understand.
We have trouble fitting in.
Yeah. We're different.
But then we get over it through therapy and we're like, we are who we are.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. And I don't need someone else to approve my identity.
Exactly. You read some Marianne Williams.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
I apologize.
Thank you,
I love you.
Thank you. Eye contact? Great.
Okay.
Checked in. We're checked in.
What do you... Lil Nas X's career... I don't think he's going to have a huge recording career. I don't think he's going to have a bunch of hit songs, but I think he's going to have a career. I just don't know what it's going to be.
Don't people like Panini or no?
It's good. I don't think the what is it, an LP technically, as a whole is that great. Or EP rather. It's seven tracks. I like three out of the seven.
Okay.
Right.
So, but I mean, hey, you're not, he's just starting out.
He's just starting out, but it makes me think like, geez, Cardi B is kind of like incredible, you know?
Oh my God. Because
that was somebody where she had that song that everyone was talking about, and then she then released an album and it was like, this song, this song, this song,
this
song.
All of them are good.
It's like, Jesus.
I have a feeling like he could just be a brand consultant.
Right, what I'm wondering.
Like, that's what seems like his real genius is in like identifying like a trend or creating a trend
more than
like being like through my music I'm crazy. He's like, no,
right.
I think this will fucking get cracked.
It'll be like Kanye without the music or mental illness
or the MAGA shit. Yeah.
Right. Or the MAGA shit. Well, that's the mental illness.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. I think this kid's going places, guys. That's what I'm...
Where do you predict? 10 years. Set a timer.
Years.
How old is
Reddit,
he?
Set a reminder.
Do we know what his current
10
age
years,
is?
He'll be 26.
Oh, my God. He's a child. No.
I actually don't know. I think he's still a teenager, though.
Oh, my God.
He turned 20 in April. He was born on April 9th, 1999.
I got to get started doing stuff.
Yeah. This is one thing you can miss. You may have missed out on Twitter, but if you're trying to get on this Old Town Road wave or something like it.
Some kind of Old Town Road thing.
Yeah. So yeah, in 10 years, 30, ooh.
I gotta start some sort of Old Town Road thing. It's such a great, just, damn, man, I gotta start some Old Town Road thing. Like, I feel like that's a pitch like an uncle would give me or something. Why don't you start one of those Old Town Road things?
Oh my God.
Or that's how like kids in their like first year of business school, like those are, it's like, what we need is like an Old Town Road type idea.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. That's what happens in this town anytime a show does well. They're like, you know what we need is like a Big Little Lies.
We need Florida girls. What about like Nevada guys?
Oh, I'd watch that. Yeah, I don't know if I would. Nevada.
Well, it's about to come around because People Just Do Nothing, the UK show, is taking place in Vegas and it'll be kind of adjacent to that.
That could be cool. Yeah. A Vegas show I'd be down for.
Yeah, where it's about like struggling EDM DJs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in fucking Las Vegas. Because like if you've seen the UK version, it's about garage music and pirate radio, but they're just trying to find like the analog is in Vegas with like club dancing and shit.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I would watch that once, I think.
All right, let's talk about one of the all-time great Hall of Fame performances from a corporation. Capital One released, I guess it was like a press release yesterday, where they announced that some of their customers had been compromised. Keep in mind, this is the brand that had the whole thing about how if you have any other card in your wallet, you are going to get, you know, murdered by Vikings. But if you have Capital One, you know, the barbarians will be stopped at the gates.
No, wasn't it more like they were so like they were doing like refined things because they had Capital One? They're like they were wild and was like, but we can go to fucking, you know, vacation or something.
Oh, I think that's how it ended, actually. Because the Vikings didn't disappear. They just, like, suddenly became, like, tamed by
Capital
One.
Yeah, and the fun part is, like, look at this sloppy Viking talk about this crudité.
Right.
Was that the Game of Thrones guy? Was he playing the Viking?
He might have been.
Okay, because I think,
Did he get a start like that?
No, I think he was a wildling first, and then he got the Capital One commercials as a Viking. I think it's him.
Wow.
I know he plays a Viking on a commercial. I just don't know if it's Capital One or not.
Huh.
Yeah.
We all need our start.
It's the charming wildling, that America's sweetheart wildling, but
exactly.
I don't know his name.
But it was Alec Baldwin, then Sam Jackson.
It's been everyone. But all this to say, a breach has occurred.
Yeah, so a breach has occurred, and they went about it in the most just, I don't know, backhanded.
If you really distill it to what happened, there was a massive security breach. They were hacked, and a lot of social security numbers and bank accounts were leaked, or someone was able to access all that.
And they tried to break it like it was good news.
This is how the press release reads. Keep in mind this is an announcement saying, we got hacked and a bunch of sensitive information breached. And it's so wordy. It's like me getting in trouble and then coming home to my mom.
Based on our analysis to date, this event affected approximately 100 million individuals in the United States and approximately 6 million in Canada. Importantly, no credit card account numbers or login credentials were compromised, and over 99% of social security numbers were not compromised. So
then it goes on.
You don't need to read the rest of this.
But even in the beginning, they said, it was determined that there was an unauthorized access by an outside individual who obtained certain types of personal information relating to people who had applied for its credit. It's like you got hacked, motherfucker, and you got a bunch of information leaked.
Beyond the credit card application data, the individual also obtained portions of credit card customer data, including customer status data, etc., fragments of transaction data. No bank account numbers or social security numbers were compromised.
Oh, thank God.
Other than about 140,000 social security numbers of our credit card customers, about 80,000 linked bank account numbers of our secured credit card customers, for our Canadian credit card customers, approximately 1 million social insurance numbers were compromised in this incident.
This is why it's like not good to brag, because if they hadn't bragged about like we're the safest, then this would be fine. You'd be like, okay, you're doing your best.
To
and
say
things happen.
No bank account or social security numbers were compromised other than the social security card. Like what?
Yeah, other than 140,000 of you.
There must be, I guess there really is an art when you're doing PR and having to do damage control on this. It's like, you got to be so fucking, you know, obscure and cloudy with your language.
But this is not art. They fucked this up. They look like such
assholes.
Well, not that it looks good. It's just like, what the fuck?
It works a lot of the time just like saying to someone, like, this is what actually happened. Like, people are like, okay.
See, nothing was leaked other than these things that were leaked.
Right. And then people go,
nothing was leaked. Yeah, other than those things that were leaked.
Okay, great. Okay. Nothing was leaked. Okay. Bye.
Other than the million. Yeah, nothing was leaked. Bye.
What's in your wallet?
Now they fucking know.
Right.
They're like, what's in your wallet, motherfucker? No.
I just got internet scammed in a really dark way on Facebook. Not my bank account, thankfully, but on Facebook I got a message from someone named Pembroke Chin, who's in my family. And I had the photo of him. He looked very much like in my family on my dad's side. And a friend requested it. I accepted the request and we started chatting. And I know the name and I'm like, I think he's like my great uncle or something. So we start talking and he's like, oh, I'm happy you accepted my friend request. I'm like, of course. Like, da-da-da. I didn't know you were on here. He's like in his 70s. And we're talking for a while. And then I randomly was talking to my dad and I was like, you know who friend requested me is Pembroke. And my dad was like, Pembroke? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, Pembroke died, honey.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, well, no, because we've been talking. And I sent my dad a link to the guy. And he was like, no, he died in January. And I'm like, I'm talking to someone who hacked my great uncle's account. And then I went back on and the conversation started to shift into like, have you seen this like global fund thing? And like, would you want to be a contributor? And yeah.
So did you contribute?
Obviously, yeah.
I mean, the guy needed money.
The guy needed money so badly that he pretended to be my dead great uncle.
Oh, wow. That's fucked, man.
I know, it was dark.
But like beginning was like nice pleasantries.
Pretty
as
normal.
If it was your uncle.
Here's
your
the thing, is like this particular uncle had like a very like, you know, colorful life. There was like drugs and da-da-da and stuff. And so it was like a little, it sounded a little like, in hindsight, they were foreign.
Right.
They
right.
were clearly foreign. But yeah. to me, I was just like, he's older.
He's probably high. He's an old guy. He's probably high.
Yeah, he's like been through stuff. But now I read, I'm like, oh no, this is not an American.
Good day to you, niece. Hope God is with you in your heart. M. Pembroke, your uncle.
Yo, shout out to Pembroke Chin, though, man.
I know.
What a solid name. The small details that we've gotten so far. What an interesting dude.
Yeah, he's great.
Scamming from beyond the grave.
R.I.P., yeah.
R.I.P. All right, and real quick, speaking of scams, we do want to talk about a ProPublica report that highlights a really shitty loophole that some of the like richest families in Illinois are exploiting to get financial aid for their children's college tuition.
It's a great scam.
Yes.
What you do, you get your child in their junior or senior year, you basically say, we want to grant guardianship to this other family friend or cousin. That way the minor can declare themselves financially independent, which now allows them to receive federal, state, and university assistance.
Right.
Wow.
And this is some of the richest.
It's in, they're not saying the richest of the rich, but definitely like suburbs where people are not struggling by any means or by any stretch of the imagination. So of like they said, they found more than 40 guardianship cases fitting this profile that were filed between January of last year and June of this year. In the Chicago suburbs of Lake County alone. And the parents involved in these cases included lawyers, a doctor, an assistant school superintendent, insurance agents, real estate agents, and the children of high-achieving scholars, athletes, and musicians who attended or have been accepted to a wide range of universities.
Mm.
Mm.
Yeah.
Man, that's pretty standard for America.
Like, oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
How you
rich
get that poor people discount?
Find ways to get
to never pay for shit.
Anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now they need an emergency tax cut.
Right.
I hope they're going to get it.
I know.
Their kids, they're having to abandon their children so they can be financially independent so they can be a doctor and have to pay less or something, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Now, I think, you know, what's funny or what's not funny, what's lame
hilarious.
About this, what's fucked up about this is like guardianship petitions themselves are very like useful and can typically be the only thing that will help someone out of a really bad situation.
Right.
So for them to go on and do this is like just such a smack in the face. And when ProPublica looked at where a lot of these kids were living and what their situation was, nearly all of them were still living at home. They just legally changed who their guardian was and they were still getting their bills paid. And then what happened was like this administrator who contacted ProPublica was like, when I noticed this, like, you know, what happened was one student or this administrator got a call from a high school and said, I have an incoming freshman that's going to the low income student orientation. They're like, why is that? And they're like, oh, they're because of this, this and this. And the counselor was like, oh, that's not true. And they're like, right. What? So then they started looking into it and realizing all these weird discrepancies. And then when they would tell some of the students like, hey, you know, actually, after reviewing your application, we're actually going to cut back some of your assistance. None of them push back.
Mm.
And they're like, and that's when we knew because people who have their financial aid cut, They will come in at the very least to try and discuss it. And most people are like, oh, okay.
Wow. Yeah. They were like, you caught me.
So now in the interview process, they'll say, they'll be like, who pays your cell phone bill?
Yeah.
They're like, who you live with?
Yeah.
And they're like, because, wait, oh, but you're
And they'll
you're
just find another loophole.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like just paying people.
Yeah.
So, but this was sort of like the beta version of the Operation Varsity Blues.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Laura, it has been a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist.
Thank you. It's
Where
been
can people
fun.
Find you?
I'm on Instagram.
Oh, hey. All right.
Not on Twitter, but I am on Instagram. And it is at Laura Chin with four N's.
Four N's?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot of N's. Yeah.
Relax.
Thank you.
Relax.
We get it.
Do you have a post on Instagram, a tweet you've been enjoying? We usually share.
Yes. I do.
Oh, all right.
It's a tweet that I saw on Instagram.
Hey.
And it's I really related to this, and it's a girl. It's at just every girl. She said, "When my sweater slips off one shoulder, me, I'm the sexiest person in the world right now. In this moment, I'm a star." I really related to that. That was like a thing growing up. That it was like, "Oh my god, it's happened. Don't touch it."
Play cool.
Because then you're like, "What is it? Flash dance? You know,
right?
That whole
yeah,
vibe.
Yeah.
It's very
the flash dance.
Very
vibe.
Sexual."
Yes. Yeah. Miles, where can people find you?
Find me and follow me on Twitter and Instagram.
Whoa. Oh,
at Miles
shoo.
Of Gray.
Damn.
Yeah, please follow me so I can call myself an influencer.
Yeah,
please.
Totally.
I want free socks.
Really I think you first call yourself an influencer, then the followers will
fuck
come.
Yeah, I'm an influencer.
Thank you.
I'm an under the influencer. a couple tweets I like. One is from Courtney Peterson at Courtnikovia. Okay, hear me out. We replace amen with that's what's up. It works for every prayer.
That's what's up.
Also, another one from Sophia Alexandra at The Sophia.
Yeah.
She's quote tweeting someone, Raphael Bob Waxberg, who said, if you were Lisa's age when The Simpsons debuted, you are Homer's age now. And Sophia goes, why don't you go fuck yourself?
Wow, that's true.
Fuck, man.
Yeah, put that in
I
your...
don't think
that's
I'm
the
Homer's
dude who makes
age.
BoJack Horseman, right?
Huh?
BoJack Horseman? Isn't that... Raphael, whatever.
Yeah,
the dude
I think
who pointed that out.
Oh, yes, maybe. Yes, yeah. Thank
he
you.
He likes bumming people out, doesn't he?
Yeah, what the fuck?
This is why I'm not on Twitter. I don't need to hear that kind of shit.
Yeah, and be like, I'm fucking Homer's age.
I'm
fuck
not
you.
Homer's age.
You're Homer's age, asshole. at Left at London tweeted, man, I feel like a burden. Dun, dun.
That's amazing.
And Phil at Phil Jameson tweeted, Joker voice. One person steals a joke, they're a joke thief, a scumbag. But 1,000 people steal a joke, smacks lips. That's a meme. you can find That's me true. On Twitter at Jack_O'Brien, one N, unfortunately.
I took all the N's.
Yeah. it's a good thing that I was able to find even one. you can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be today?
Do a Mad Villain track, but a Fortet remix of a Mad Villain track. The track is Meat Grinder by Mad Villain.
I don't know what any of that is.
Okay, well, that's when MF Doom and Mad Lib partnered up and did an album together, collaboration album, Mad Villain, with the track Accordion on it. But yeah, Fortet is also another producer DJ that I really like, and it's his remix of that song.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Isn't Fortet like a jazz, like people playing the stand-up bass?
Is that a quartet? Oh my God, I knew that. Shit. I didn't graduate high
Jinx.
School and
Look
I knew
at
that.
He's had to dunk on him right there in his own house,
Damn.
On
That's
his
okay.
own court.
But you know stuff. You just said a bunch of smart stuff.
Yeah, thank you. That means a lot.
I mean, you were reading from a computer. But you're good at reading.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do know how to do that. The Daily Zeitgeist.
The thing
is,
the sounds tell him phonetically how to read it. The headphones. <it's> like,
Turn the page.
The
Daily
my
Zeitgeist
God.
Is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow with more podcasts, and we'll talk to you then. Bye.
Bye. Just say ho, I'll test the yo. Wow.
West Alfest, y'all best to lay low. Hey bro, day glow, set the bet, pay dough. Before the cheddar get away, best to get Mako. The worst hated god who perpetrated odd favors, demonstrated in the perforated rod labors. In all quad flavors, large savers. Still back in the game like Jack LaLanne. Think you know the name, don't rack your brain. On a fast track to half same, either in a slow beat or that the speed or at the cane. Laughter, pain, spoon songs lit in the booth with the best host doing ball hits.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.